Today's shiur is the Masechta Ksuvos on Daf Pei Ches. We will begin on the last line of Daf Pei Zayin Amud Beis, at the end of the line, with the words Amar Rav Papa. In yesterday's shiur, we learned the Mishnah on Pei Zayin Amud Aleph, which told us that a woman, when she's collecting her ksuba, there are five cases where she would have to make a shvuah. The first two cases, which we discussed yesterday, were HaPegemes Ksubasa. If she made a dent in her ksuba, she damaged her ksuba, meaning that she admitted that she had received from her husband a partial payment on the ksuba, she is obligated to make a shvua. Also, if the husband says, I paid you already, she says, I did not receive it. However, the husband has an eid echad that says, like the husband, that it was paid. That eid echad is mechayiv her to make a shvua. I do not believe that we spoke out a question that Rashi has on the top of the Amud, the seventh line of Rashi, where he says, V'im Tomer. Rashi asks the question, B'loi Poigem Nami. Without the case of Poigem Ksubasa, or the case of Eid Echad being Mechayv or Shvua, there could be a Chiv Shvua anyway. And the reason is, because Rashi says, a Lova has a right to tell the Malva, you claim that I did not pay you the loan. I claim I did. Swear to me that I have not paid you. So why do we need this case of Poigemes Ksubasa, even if she does not damage her Ksuba, even if she does not admit that she received a partial payment, she could make her husband swear that he has not paid the Ksuba. Or rather, the husband could make her swear, the husband in this case being the loive, could make her swear that she has not received payment. And Rashi answers the differences as follows. In the case of a loive and a malva, the loive has a right to ask the malva to swear that I didn't pay you. But if he does not exercise that right, then we tell him, listen, the malva has a shtar, and the shtar tells us that a loan was made, go pay the loan. If he doesn't say anything, he has to pay the loan. Whereas in the case here of Poigemes Ksubasa, where the husband who owes the money to the wife, were it not for Poigemes Ksubasa, we would only make the wife swear if the husband asked for it. But the chiddush of Pagamis Ksubasa is that even if the husband doesn't ask the wife to swear, she is mechuyev to swear. And the same thing with Eid Echad, even if the husband doesn't ask for the wife to swear, she would be mechuyev to swear. That is the difference between a regular loive and malva case, where the malva only swears that he wasn't paid by the loive if the loive requests it. And here, because of Poigem Ksubasa, the wife is mechuyev to swear, even if the husband does not request it. And now let us begin the Gemara. Amar Rav Papa, says Rav Papa, as we turn to Daf Pei Ches Amud Aleph, we explained in yesterday's shiur, at the end of the shiur, that the shvua of an Eid Echad is only a shvua derabbanan. As Rava told Rami Bar Chama, there's two reasons why it's not a shvua deraisa. Because all the shvuas in the Torah are structured that the person who should pay swears and he doesn't have to pay. And here, the woman is swearing and taking. So that's not a structured after the shvua of the Torah. It's only a shvua d'rabbanan. And also, that the shvua of the Torah does not apply when you're dealing with karka. And here, a ksuba has a lien on karka, on property, on land. And that would not obligate a shvua from the Torah, and therefore it's only a shvua d'rabbanan. The Gemara explained the reason. Kedei lahafiz daita shabal, just to appease him, to make him feel at ease, he's bringing an eid echad to prove that he paid the ksuba, and we trust her that he did not pay the ksuba to her. If he makes a shvua, if she has to make a shvua, the husband will feel better about it. But now, says the Gemara, Rav Papa tells us, Epikeyahu, if the husband is shrewd, if he's smart, there is a method where he could force his wife, instead of making a shvu derabbanan, he could force her, in the case here of an eid echad saying that she was paid for the ksuba, he could force her to make a shvu deraisa. Now, in yesterday's shiur, we explained what is the difference if you have to make a shvua deraisa or a shvua derabanan. And let us see what Rashi says here in the second Rashi, l'day shvua deraisa, on the first line of Rashi, shehi b'shem oy b'kinui, a shvua deraisa, the person making the shvua has to use Hashem's name or another name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Oche Sefer Biyadi, and he has to hold a Sefer Torah in his hand. That's called Nikitas Chafetz. And that is a very traumatic experience to go through that. The Chamura Himod, it's a very very stringent Shvua. Avol Shvua Drabbanan, Klol Bialma. But a Shvua of Drabbanan is only a curse. It doesn't require the Shem Hashem, the name of Hashem. It doesn't require a Sefer Torah. That is the difference, according to Rashi, why the husband would want to use a shvua deraisa. What's the difference? The wife has to swear anyway. A shvua deraisa is more awesome, more fearful. You're dealing with a very serious matter, saying Hashem's name in your shvua and holding a Sefer Torah. That's why the husband would want it. However, Tosus asked the question, in Divri Amaskal, Maisil Alidei shvua deraisa, in the second Tosfos on the Daf, Pirush Bekuntres, the Nafkula Mina, the difference is between Shvu Deraisa and Shvu Derabanan, the Bederaisa Minket Cheftza, but the Rabbanan Loi Naket. Vehu Atzmai Soisur Dvorov. Damrina Bashalech, in Gittin, Daf Lamed Hei, Tosfos says that Rashi himself contradicts what he says here. And there Rashi says that even a Shvu Derabanan requires that the person making the Shvua has to hold a Sefer Torah and use the name of Hashem. And that is what the Rishonim agree to, that a Shvua Derabanan does require Hashem's name. So there is no difference between a Shvua Deraisa or a Shvua Derabanan in this regard. It's only a Shvua, which we call Shvuas Heses, which is a Shvua that the Amoroyim of the Gemara enacted, which does not require Hashem's name or the holding of a Sefer Torah. We also mentioned in yesterday's shir that Rashi here on Peches contradicts what Rashi says on Pesayin Amid Beis. Here Rashi says the difference between a Deraisa and a Derabanan is holding a Sefer Torah, saying the name of Hashem. And on Pesayin Amid Beis, Rashi says the difference is, can the person who's obligated to make a Shua flip it to the other party and say, you make the Shua and you win the Din Torah, I don't want to make the Shua. And by a Deraisa, apparently Rashi holds, at least here, Pesayin Amid Beis in Ksubis, that it would not be effective, and by the Rabbanan, it would be effective. And here, Rashi says a whole different reason. The flaw explains why Rashi changed his position from Peizan Amid Beis to Peiches Amid Aleph, Ayin Shum. We find in the Rif that the Rif says the difference between a Shvu Deraisa and a Shvu Derabanan is that by a Shvu Deraisa, if she made a grab for the property without making a shvua, Bezdin would take it away from her. However, if she grabbed when she was supposed to make a shvua derabanan and she did not make a shvua derabanan, there Bezdin would not take it away from her. So there are differences between a shvua deraisa or a shvua derabanan, and therefore Rav Papa says that if the Baal is smart, he has a way, he can use a ploy and to get her to be mechuyif to swear a shvua deraisa. How does he do it? Begins the Gemara in the second line. Yoav lo ksubasa ba'apei chatzad. She comes to her husband and says, you owe me the ksuba. He says, I paid it. She says, you didn't. So the husband says, you know what? I'm going to give you, you say I didn't pay you, I'm going to pay you. And I'm doing it in front of a witness. And then, v'samach sada kamo asada basra. And then he takes the two edim together to Bezdin, and each aid says that the ksuba was paid. Now he has two edim that say the ksuba was paid. She can't deny that she received the payment for the ksuba. But now the husband says, wait a second. This aid is saying that I paid you on day X, and I just paid you on day Y again. I'm not paying you the ksuba twice. And then continues the Gemara, umukumlu lahanach kamoi b'milva. He'll say, you know what? The second payment, that was clearly for the ksuba, which the aid is made on. The aid testifies, yes, it was paid for the ksuba. And the first one, I'm going to say, was a loan. And what are you going to say now? You're going to say against the Eid Echad that you didn't receive payment on the first one? Well, now you'll have to swear Shavu Deraisa. What was the whole reason why we said in yesterday's shir? That what did Rava say to Rami Rechama? As Rashi explains here, that there were two reasons why it's not a Shavu Deraisa and it's only a Shavu Derabbanan. It can't be a Shavu Deraisa because all the Shavuos in the Torah are structured that the person who should pay swears and doesn't pay. And here she's swearing and taking. But that doesn't apply now. If the husband is saying, the first payment that I gave you was a loan, and now she says, I don't owe you anything concerning that loan. So now the husband's asking repayment of the loan, and she says, no, I don't owe it to you. You never gave me a loan. I don't owe it to you. So now she would be swearing and keeping. Not swearing and taking, but swearing and not paying. That fits in with the structure of Shavua Minat Torah, like Shor Misachar, as we mentioned in yesterday's shir. And secondly, why is it a Shavua Derabbanan here by Eid Echad? We explained, Rava explained to Rami Bar Chama, because it pertains to Karka. The Shavua was about whether she received the Ksuba, which has a lien on property, and any dispute concerning property does not obligate a Shavua from the Torah. But now that we've switched the entire Din Torah away from Ksuba and we've made it into an issue of a loan is not karka. A loan is metalkal and is movable things. It's money. It's a money question. On that, there is a Shavua Deraisa. So this is the way the Rav Papa suggests. If the husband's smart, he could turn the whole case into a Shavua Min HaTorah, and that she might be afraid to swear, and then she'll admit that she did receive a prior loan, and she has to repay that loan. And this way, the husband will come out not having to pay the ksuba twice. Maskevla Rav Sheisha Brei Ravidi asked the question, Rav Sheisha Brei Ravidi, to this strategy, this ploy of Rav Papa, Heich Samach Sada Kama Sada Basra. How do we put together the first aid together with the second aid? And in fact, they're speaking about two different things. One is speaking that she was paid on day X, and the other one is speaking that she was paid on day Y, on two different days. The two Eidim are saying the Ksuba was paid, but it was paid on two different days. How do you put these two Eidim together? And in fact, this whole Eitzah could backfire. He knows that he paid the Ksuba already on day X. Now, in order to make her Chayav Shavu Deraisa using Rav Papa's ploy, he's going to pay her again on day Y. She can go against each aid because we're going with the assumption that you can't put the two aids together. They were two different payments on two different days. So she has one aid against her on day X. She has another aid against her on day Y, saying that it was paid when she says it wasn't paid, and she could make a shvua against each one, and it'll come out the husband will pay twice, so this whole eitzah could backfire. Ella Amar Rav Shishu Brei Ravidi, so Rav Shishu Brei Ravidi says, we have to adjust the ploy of Rav Papa. Yoav Laksu Basra Bapi Sada Kama Visada Basra. He takes the first aid and he joins the first aid with another aid. Now we have two aidim on this second payment of the ksuba. And now there's no question, how can you join the two aidim together? They're already joined together, the first and the second aid. The original aid from the first payment sees the second payment together with someone else. Rashi says, really, we could have gotten two strangers. We don't have to use the first aid who saw the payment the first time, day X. We can use two brand new aidim from the marketplace, from the shuk, to see the payment on day Y. The only thing is, Rashi says, it's an Eitzah Tova that the person who saw the first payment on day X should see that she was paid twice So we'll use him again. But you don't have to, says Rashi. So now we have two bona fide edim on day Y that she was paid. But what about you? The one eid says she was paid on day X as well. He'll say that the first one was a loan. Now he has only an eid echad on the first loan. She will say, I never got a loan. Now we can make her swear shvu deraisa, because again, it doesn't involve kark, it involves this loan. And it is not swearing and taking, it is swearing and not having to pay, which is structured after the shvu deraisa. So by this modification that Rav Shisha Bereh Ravidi makes on Rav Papa's idea, we can work it out that we can be mechayev her a shvua deraisa. Now the Ritva points out that when the Gemara said before, how could you join, when the Gemara thought, we'll take the payment of the first, of day X, that testimony of that eid echad, and we'll string it together with the testimony of the eid echad on day Y, which was the original way Rav Papa said the ploy should work. The Gemara said, how can you join them both together? Ask the Ritva that it's a Beferish Gemara Sanhedrin, the Flamed Amid Beis, where the Gemara says that if one aid says that Reuven lent Shimon a mana in front of him on Sunday, and the other aid says that Reuven lent Shimon a mana in front of him on Monday, we could be Mitzarif, the two aides together, and Reuven can receive back that mana from Shimon based on the testimony of the two Edom. So what is the Gemara saying here? You can't be mitzarf when the Gemara in Sanhedrin says that since both are testifying that a mana was lent, Shimon has to pay it back to Reuven. So therefore the Ritva understands the original pshat of Rav Papa, that the Gemara means to say as follows, that you cannot use the same testimony of the first aid twice. You're going to string him together with the testimony of the second aid so that you can say that the ksuba was paid in front of two people on two different days. But the bottom line is we two together are saying that the ksuba was paid, and then turn around and use that testimony of the eid echad for a different purpose to say that the original payment was not a ksuba payment, it was a loan payment, and therefore it's a mechayev shvu deraisa. That's what the Gemara means, that you can't string it together. You could string it together to say the ksuba was paid, but you cannot then take that testimony of the first aid and separate it for a different purpose to make it into a shvu deraisa. But the way Rav Shisha says, it comes out good, because the eid echad is testifying in two separate cases. He's testifying together with another man on the second payment, and then he's testifying by himself on the first payment. That is permitted. What the problem, which the Gemara originally had, was that I'm trying to string him together. He didn't really see it when the second aid saw it on day Y. But I'm trying to string him together with the testimony of the second aid, and then turn around and turn his testimony into alva, that you're not able to do. Maskevlo Ravashi. Ravashi still is not satisfied that we can change this shvu derabon into a shvu deraisa. Akati yichol lemeimer, she could still beat the system. She could say, and something where, in fact, each aid would be corroborating what she's saying. She's saying, what did the first aid say that the ksuba was paid on day one, on day X? And what is the second aid saying that the ksuba was paid on day Y? I agree with them. But you know what it was? It was base ksubas havoy. It wasn't a loan on day X. I had two ksubas. My husband had given me two separate obligations of ksuba. And he paid me one ksuba on day X and one ksuba on day Y. That's what he claims. I say he never paid me anything. Who's going against me? One eid echad. I will swear against that one eid echad. And it won't be a shvu deraisa, it won't be a shvu derabanan, because the discussion is about ksubas and not loans. I claim, as the Edom corroborate, that they sought a payment of ksubas. and there were two ksubas, and neither was paid. El Amar Rav Ashi, the only way that we could turn this into a Shvud Deraisa, who demoydalahu, he has to inform the Edom. He has to take the two Edom on the payment of the ksuba on day Y, and he has to tell them, really, I paid this already on day X, but since my wife is denying it, I want to now pay it in front of you, so we know that the ksuba is paid, and thereby I will be making that the first payment was a loan, because I already paid the ksuba on right now, in front of you to Edom. So if he informs the Edom, or some Rishonim say he informs Beis Din, or some Rishonim say he says this distinctly to the wife herself, and she doesn't say anything at that time. So in such a case, there he is able to switch the Shvud Rabbanan to make it into a Shvud Deraisa, because now if she denies that she was paid the first payment, that's a loan, and therefore it does fall into the structure of the Shvud Deraisa, and she would have to make a Shvud Deraisa. Continues the Gemara, explaining the next part of the Mishnah, she has to make a Shvua when she is collecting from Nechasim Meshubadim. Says the Gemara, Tanan Asim, we learned over there in the Mishnah in Shavuos on Daf Memhei, V'chein HaYisoimim, if in our Mishnah we learned that if you come to collect from Yisomim, the woman has to make a Shavuah. What about if Yisomim go and want to collect a IOU that someone owed their father, V'chein HaYisoimim La Yifru El B'Shavuah, the Yisomim only get paid if they make a shvua. And what is that shvua? That their father never told them at the time of death, or at some other time, that the loan was paid up, or, and also, that they never found among his papers that a receipt was made that the loan had been paid up. This is the shvua that they have to make. Now the Gemara wants to know, miman, who are they trying to collect from? These Yisoyimim. If they're coming to collect from the Lova, how can we say that from the Lova they have to make a Shvua that this loan wasn't paid previously? Hashta Avin Shachabloi Shvua, as we learned at the beginning of today's shir. If the Lova insists, then the Malva has to swear that he wasn't paid. But if the Lova says nothing, and the Malva presents a shtar, then the Malva is able to collect without a Shvua. Ve'inu b'Shvua. And are you saying that the Yisoyimim are worse than the father himself? That the Yisoyimim, if they're trying to collect from the Lova, will have to make a Shvua, even if the Lova doesn't demand it? We know that Beis Din always tries to make things easier for Yisoyimim. They're always on the side of the Yisoyimim. So if the father didn't have to swear unless the Lova insisted, so for sure the Yisoyimim shouldn't have to swear unless the Lova would insist. Ella Hachikomer. This is the pshat in that Mishnah in Masechet Shavuos. V'chein ha-Yisoyimim min ha-Yisoyimim lo yifru el b'shvua. If Yisoyimim of the Malva are coming to collect from Yisoyimim of the Lova, then they can only collect with a Shvua. Just like if someone tries to collect from Yisomim, if the Malva himself tries to collect from Yisomim, he has to make a Shvua. Whoever tries to get something from Yisomim has to make a Shvua. If it is the Yisomim of the Malva who are trying to get from Yisomim of the Loiva, they too have to make a Shvua. Amr of Zikam Rav Yehuda, Loishanu, when do they have to make a Shvua? Elisha Amru Yisomim, when the Yisomim of the Loiva said, Amr Lanu Abba, our father at the time of death, said to us, Lavisu Parati, I made this loan, however, I paid up. So then the Yisom of the Malva have to swear before they can collect from the Lova. Aval Omru, but if the Yisom of the Lova said, Omer Lanu Abba, our father told us, Loi Lavisi, I never made this loan, I never bore this money, Af b'shvua lo yifru. So then even with the shvua, they cannot collect. They're not able to collect. So the Ritzvah explains the Gemara's Havmina is that a person doesn't say a sheker at the time of death. And this was speaking about that the father told it to them at the time of death. So bishloim, if he says, I lent it, but I paid it up, it could be that he got it mixed up with another loan that he repaid. And this loan he really didn't pay. and therefore, with a shvuah, they can collect. But if he said, lavisu parati, if he said, I never lent, so he's clear that he never lent any money at all. So there we say that he wouldn't say a lie. Apparently there he would not get mixed up. If he says emphatically, I never borrowed any money from that person, so there we believe him, and he wouldn't say a lie b'shas misa. We don't suspect that he got confused, and therefore, even with the shvuah, they would not be able to collect. Maskvlo Rav, Rav asked the question, Adarab, we have a rule that koloi merloi levisi kar merloi parati dami, that whoever says, I didn't loan, he's admitting that he didn't pay. Because he said, I never had anything to do with this loan, so I certainly didn't pay. I didn't loan it, I didn't pay it. And the shtar, as Rashi explains, proved to us, to Bezdin, that you did make the loan. But by your own admission, you're saying you never paid it. Because you don't know anything about the loan, so certainly you never paid it. So you are admitting that you never paid it. Ella. So why shouldn't it didn't be? The Gemara is asking that the Yosayim of the Malva cannot collect this from the Yisrael of the Loiva, even with a Shua. Ella, Yitmar Hachi, if we learn something about this din, Ella Yitmar Hachi Yitmar, this is the way it's supposed to be. Amar Rav Zikar, Amar Rav Yudah, Loi, Shanel Shomer Yisrael, Amar Lano Abba Lovisa Parati. When is this halacha that the Yisrael of the Malva collect with a Shua if the Yisrael of the Loiva said that our father said he lent it, but he paid it back. He borrowed it, but he paid it back. That's the same as we learned before. Avol Amaru, if the Yisrael of the Loiva said, Amar Lano Abba, our father told us, Loi Lavisi, I never borrowed it. Then Nifro and Shalai B'Shua, then the Yisrael of the Malva can collect, they don't even need a Shrua. Why? As we said before, Shekolo Amar Loi Lavisi, Amar Loi Parati Dami. If you say you didn't borrow, it means you certainly didn't pay it back. And the shtar proves that you did borrow. So, and you're saying you didn't pay it back. Memela, the children, the Yisrael of the Malva can collect without a shua. Not like we learned before, the Yisrael of the Malva cannot collect even with a shua, but Adarabba, the Yisrael of the Malva can collect even without a shua. Continues the Gemara explaining the next part of the Mishnah. V'nifrash lebefon of Leisif el b'shua, a woman who is trying to collect her ksuba. Her husband divorced her, and he went to the Medina Sayyam. He went to a far-off land, and she wants to get her ksuba. She only gets paid if she makes a shvua. Amar Rav Acha Sarabira. Rav Acha, the prince of the castle. Either it means he was a prince of a castle, or perhaps it means he was a sar ha-Torah. He was a prince of the castle of Torah. Maisa Bolo Lufnei Rav Yitzchok, as the Bach puts in Nafcha. A story, such a story came in front of Rav Yitzchak Nafcha b'Antochia, in the city of Antochia, v'Omar. And he said, Loishanu, when is it that Bezin goes down, as Rashi says on the first wide line, Shiordan Bezin l'nichsei Adam, shalai b'fanav. When can Bezin go down to the property of a person? Not in front of him when he's not here, he's in the Medina Sayyam, only El Lixuba Seisha, only concerning the ksuba of his wife. And the reason is, mishum chino, because of, to find favor in the eyes of women. As Rashi on Daf Pei Dalam and Aleph said, and this vizel ishoine of Rashi, sheyim tzu anashim chen b'eni anashim, that men should find favor in the eyes of women, v'yiyu nisos lehen, they should get married to the women, to the men, they shouldn't be worried that maybe I'll get married and maybe I'll get divorced and he'll run away and I won't be able to collect my ksuba. So because to find favor in the eyes of the women that they should know their ksuba is guaranteed, if the husband goes to Medina Siyam, Bezdin goes down and collects the ksuba for the wife. However, that's only by ksuba sisha. Avul balchoiv. But if someone lent money if Reuven lent money to Shimon, and Shimon is in Medina Sayyam, Bezdin will not go down to Shimon's property to pay off the chov of Reuven. Unless Shimon is here. Avu b'chov, lo. V'rava, Amar Rav Nachman. Rav is said in the name of Rav Nachman. Filu b'chov, even by b'chov, Bezdin would go down and pay the malva. What's the reason? In order to prevent the following scenario, that every person will go borrow money from his friend, and he'll go to a far-off land, and he'll sit pretty on his money, and the Bezdin won't be able to do anything to collect the money for the malva. And what's going to happen as a result of that? And you're going to shut the door. If you're not going to allow Bezdin to collect on behalf of the Baal Chov, on behalf of the lender, when the Lova has run away to Medina Sayyam, there will be no malvas. No one will lend money anymore. They're afraid that people will take their money and run away, and Bezdin won't work on their behalf to reclaim their money. So as a result, because of this issue, even by a Baal Chayv, according to Rav, in the name of Rav Nachman, Bezdin will collect it on behalf of the Malva, not in front of the Loiva. Tosfos, in the bottom Tosfos, Divrei Maskil v'Rava, tells us that Rabbeinu Chananel Paskin, because it's Maisim B'chol Yoyim, that we do not care about what Rava said in the name of Rav Nachman, and the way we're knowing is not to sell property of a Lova to satisfy the loan that the Baal Chov comes, that the Baal Chov is asking for. And then Taisa says, even though he has a proof that the Stam Shas Bavli holds like Rava in the name of Rav Nachman, that we would take the property away from the Lova, even though he's not here, and pay up the Malva, that's the Bavli. But in order to explain what Bezdin does every day, that they do not do that, we are somach on the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi says, v'chinefrom l'adam shloi b'fanav. Do you pay a person when he's not here? So we don't do that. So the Tosfos comes out, it's machloek is Bavli in Yerushalmi, and the Rabbeinu Chananel Paskins like the Yerushalmi. However, in Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaber in Siman Kuf Vav, Sif Aleph, in Choshen Mishpat, says that if a person, perhaps it's somewhat of a compromise between the Bavli and Yerushalmi, and the Mechaber Paskins, that if a person is within a 30-day distance, he can come back within 30 days, so we send a messenger. The Malva originally lends, he puts out the money to pay the messenger. Later, when the Loiva comes back, we will tax the Loiva for this messenger's expenses as well, says the Mechaber. But meanwhile, messenger goes and tells the Loiva, Bezdin wants you to come back so that they can pay off the debt of the Malva. However, if he is in a place where he wouldn't be able to make it back within 30 days, then the Bavli, like Rava said in the name of Rav Nachman, not like the Rabbeinu Chananel Paskin, and we take the Nechasim right away to satisfy the loan of the Malva. The Ramah adds, first of all, the Mechaber says that the Malva would have to swear that he wasn't paid yet, and then we would give it to him. And the Ramah adds that this is only a special dispensation that we do for the Malva. However, we do not do it for the Yisomim. It's only for the Malva himself that if we can't get the Lova to come within 30 days, that we would sell off the property to satisfy the loan of the Malva. Continues the Gemara on the next part of the Mishnah. Rab Shimon Aymer, Kol Zman, Shetevas Ksubasa, as long as she's being Toveya her Ksuba, then we can make, the Yorshim can make her swear. But if she's not being Toveya her Ksuba, the Yorshim cannot make her swear. The Gemara asks, Rav Shimon, ahai, what is Rav Shimon going on? What part of our Mishnah or other Mishnahs is Rav Shimon referring to? Amar Rabbi Yirmiya, aha. Rabbi Yirmiya says he's going on the following. We learned in the Mishnah, on Daf Pei Zayin Amid Aleph, the one that told us that there are five instances where a woman has to make a shvua before she can collect her ksuba, and one of them was v'nifra shaloi b'fon of leisifra el b'shvua. If she's getting paid when her husband is not there, he went to the Medina and said, yeah, she can only get paid with a shvua. And the Gemara understands that our Mishnah is not only referring to collection of a ksuba, but even if the husband went on a business trip and he didn't leave money for his wife to buy food, and she needs food. So Bezdin will go down to his property, sell off some property, in order to get some money together to pay the wife so that she can get mizonis. So the Tanakhama holds loishna mizoni veloishna l'ksuba. It doesn't matter whether it's for food or whether it's to collect the ksuba. If he sent her a get and she needs her ksuba, then Bezdin will pay it off. However, she will have to make a shvua. The Asur of Shimon Meimer, and on this, Reb Shimon argues, and he says, "Kol zman shetevas ksuba, so yorshei mashbina." So as long as she's being tevei her ksuba, then the yorshim do make her make a shvua. However, ain't a tevas ksuba. But if she's not being tevei her ksuba, what is she being tevea? She's being tevea mizonos. Ain yorshin mashbina isa. The yorshin will not make her swear. And the Gemara, in a few moments, will ask the question, what does this have to do with the yorshin? Mizonos, we were speaking about a case where the husband went on a business trip. He's alive, but he didn't leave his wife any money to buy groceries. So what does this have to do with the yorshin? How do you fit in this pshat with the word yorshin? We will see that soon in the Gemara. The actual machloikis here between the Tanakhama, who says that any payment to a woman, whether it's her food or whether it's a ksuba, she has to make a shvua, and Rav Shimon, who says that it's only when she's collecting her ksuba that she has to make a shvua, but not when she's collecting mizonos. This is a machloikis between Chanan and the children of the Kanam Gedolim, the Snan. Because we learned in a Mishnah further on Daf Kuf Dalet in this Masechta, Mi Shalach L'mdina Sayam, somebody who went to a far off land, Ve'ishtoi Tevas Mezoinis, and his wife wants food. Her husband didn't leave her any money. Chanan, Noimer Chanan says, Tishava B'soif, she only swears when she comes to collect at the end, a ksuba if she gets divorced, or the husband dies. Veloi Tishava B'tchava, she does not swear when she comes during the lifetime of her husband, when her husband is B'medina Siyam, to collect her mezoinis. Nechluku Olav B'nei K'naim G'dolim. The sons of the K'naim G'dolim argued on Chanan, and they said, V'amru, Tishava B'tchava B'soif, she has to swear both in the beginning for mizonos, for food, and also at the end when she comes to collect her ksuba. So therefore it will come out, according to this pshat of the Gemara, Rav Shimon Kechanan. Rav Shimon holds that she only swears by ksuba and not mizonos, he holds like Chanan. And the Rabban and the Tanakhama, who says she swears in all instances, both by ksuba and also by mizonos, Rabbanan kibnei kohanim gedolim, the Rabbanan hold like the sons of the kohanim gedolim. Continues the Gemara, Maskel Rav Sheshes, asked Rav Sheshes a question, which we mentioned before, Hai yorshin mashbinoisa, bezdin mashbinoisa meboilei. Why does it say at the end of Rav Shimon's words that if she's not asking for ksuba, then the yorshim cannot be mashbia her? If this is the pshat in Rav Shimon, this has nothing to do with yorshim. This has to do that bezdin will not make her swear, according to Rav Shimon and according to Chanan, when it comes to collect mizonos, only when it comes to ksuba. What does it have to do with yorshim? And the Pnei Yeshua speaks out, even though, as we learned earlier in the Masechta, that of course, as long as she doesn't go to collect her ksuba, she's entitled to mizonos from the estate. It's only when she demands her ksuba that the mizonos payments to her are stopped from the estate. So maybe we're speaking about here where it was mizonos that she was asking after the death of her husband from the Yesomim. But the Pnei Yeshua says that the Gemara understands that if Reb Shimon is lined up with Chanan and he's going according to Chanan, then Chanan is speaking about a case, as it says on the third line of the Gemara here, on this Amid, the Snan Misha Halach L'Medina Sayam. Chanan's case is where the husband is alive, but he's in Medina Sayam. So why should Reb Shimon, who's aligned with Chanan, according to your pshat, be speaking about Yorshim, where the husband died, even though there is mizonos when the husband dies from the estate? But it doesn't line up with Chanan if that's who Reb Shimon is trying to say the same psak as. So this pshat the Gemara rejects. Elam Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes says that Reb Shimon is going on the following. And this is the Mishnah that we had on Daf Pei Vav Amid Beis. where the Mishnah stated concerning the shvua of an apotropis of the wife being the administrator. She went from the grave of her husband back to her father's house. Or she returned to her father-in-law's house. And she did not become an administrator. And Rashi on Daf Pei Vav Amud Beis, explaining that part of the Mishnah there, Divrei Maskil, Holcha Mikaver Baala, says in the name of the Tosefta that this is speaking about that the Baal freed her from a shvua, not only in his lifetime, but pertaining to his affairs, even in the lifetime of the Yisomim. Ein HaYorshim HaShbiyonayso, the halacha is that the Yorshim, the inheritors, cannot make her swear if the husband has exempted her from a shvua. They cannot make her swear that she did not embezzle anything from her husband's properties. The im nasis apotropia, but if she became an administrator over the Yisomim's properties, over the orphan's properties, Yorshim HaShbiyonayso, Allah Asid Lovat, then the inheritors could make her swear on future affairs. As Rashi says on Amud Aleph, we have a number of Rashis here that are on Amud Aleph, but they pertain to the Gemara here on Amud Beis. Rashi says, the lav mikoch nichse ba'ala bo shvua zu. This shvua on the future is not coming because of the property of her husband. Ela mikoch nichse yisoymim. It's coming because of the property of the orphans. Vinishbaz kedin apotropis, and she has to swear like any other administrator. Kedisnan bishvuas, like we learned mesach the shvuas, elu nishbon shaloi betanis bori. The following have to swear, even if the other litigant is not coming with a definite claim against them, but is coming with a suspicion. And who are those that have to swear? Hashutvin, the partners. One partner has to swear to another that he didn't embezzle anything, if the other partner wants him to. Var Reason, the sharecroppers. Var Petrupin and the administrators. So if she stays on as administrator over the nechasim of the Yisomim, then she, in fact, has to make that shvua that we find in Masech Teshvuas. Ve'ein mashbin oiso amash she'avar. But she does, they cannot make her swear, the Yisomim cannot make her swear on the past, what she did during the lifetime of the husband of their father, whether she embezzled any property at that time or not. That is what the Mishnah said. And on this, Rav Shimon makes his comment. Well, also Rav Shimon Lameimer, and Rav Shimon comes and says the following. There's two parts to Rav Shimon's statement, but he's arguing on one point. And Rav Shimon says, "Kol zman shetev asksu b'asam, if she is teveya her ksuba from the Yorshin, then Yorshin mashbinoisa, then the Yorshin can make her swear." As Rashi on Amud Aleph says, what can they make her swear? Shla ikva mishlahen la'achar misavin klum. That she did not hold back, that she did not embezzle from them after the death of their father, anything. Kiddin haboli par minichse yisaimim. As it states in the Mishnah, someone who comes to collect from the nichse yisaimim can only collect with a shvua to make sure that he hasn't been paid already. So here, Rav Shimon says that if she's teveya diksuba, automatically we can throw in that she didn't embezzle. We can make her swear that the husband didn't pay her in his lifetime. We can make her swear that she didn't take anything, which would constitute a payment for the ksuba. However, says Rav Shimon, if eina tevas ksubasa, if she's not teveya her ksuba, this is the second part of Rav Shimon's statement, ein hayorshin mashbiyonaisa, then Rav Shimon, as we're going to see, holds like Abishol, that an administrator of the orphan's estate, the estate left to them by their father, if that administrator was appointed by the father, that administrator does not have to swear to the assignment. So Rav Shimon is saying a kula. Rav Shimon is saying, Kol zman shetavas subasa yarshim esh b'nai sod, that the only time that I agree with the Tana that she has to swear is that which is written in the Mishnah explicitly, that whoever comes to collect from the Nechasim of the Yisayimim has to swear. And if you're collecting the Ksuba from the Yisayimim, you have to swear. And then we can make you swear that you didn't get payment and you didn't embezzle. But if Ksuba is not the issue, the only issue is the general Shvua that we find the Masechta Shvuas that an apotropos has to make on a suspicion that may be embezzled, that the wife who's administrating the property, the estate, based on her husband's appointment to that position, there Reb Shimon agrees with Abishal that a shvua cannot be made by the assignment against her that she didn't embezzle. Ukamiflagi beplukted Abishal v'rabbanon, and the machlokes here, Reb Shimon and the Tanakama, is the machlokes which we find between Abishal and the Rabbanan in Masechta Gittin Daf Nun Beis Amid Beis. The Snan we learned in the Mishnah there. Apotropishin minu avi Yisoyimim Yishav. An apotropis that was appointed, the Tanakama holds, by the father of the Yisoyimim, he has to swear. And as Rashi explains, based on the Gemara there in Gittin, we're worried that we will not be able to find people to administrate the Nechasim of Yisayim if they have to swear. However, the Tanakhama holds, we don't have to worry about that if the person was appointed by the father. Because who do we think the father appointed? Someone who's a good friend of his, who he did favors to in his lifetime. So that person will feel obligated to administer the property, even if he has to swear. However, says the Tanakhama, Minu Bezdin Lo Yishava. If Bezdin appointed the administrator, then Bezdin does not make him swear that he didn't embezzle, because if we're going to make an administrator swear, it will be near to impossible to find anyone who will want to get involved in this to administrate the property on behalf of the Yisrael, and then he'll have to swear that he didn't embezzle. That's the sheet of the Tanakhama. Abishol, Oimer, Abishol holds just the opposite. Chiluf advor. Minu Bezdin, if the Bezdin appointed him, Yishava, he should swear. We just said that we're afraid we won't be able to get anybody to administer the property. So Rashi explains that the person who gets such a position will feel, oh, look how chashuv I am. Bezdin considers me a trustworthy individual, a responsible person. They are appointing me to be the executor of the estate. And therefore, even though it'll mean that I'll have to swear, he will take the position. It will not be hard, according to Abishol's reasoning, for Bezdin to find someone to administer the estate. But minu avi Yisayimim, but if the father of the Yisayimim appointed the administrator, there Abishol's thinking is that it will be difficult for the father, even though he did favors to that person during his lifetime. The person will not want to administer the estate after the death of his friend, and have to swear that he didn't embezzle anything. So therefore, Abishol's opinion is that lo yishava, it'll be too hard to get someone, and therefore we do not require him to swear. And therefore, here, where we're speaking about the wife was appointed by the father to administer the estate, and she continued doing that after the death of the husband. So according to the Artana in the Mishnah Pei Vav Amid Beis, the apotropis, the wife in this case, would have to swear that she didn't embezzle anything if it was on the future transactions of the Yisayimim. However, Rav Shimon on this point, he disagrees. Rav Shimon Kabishol. Rav Shimon holds like Abishol that if it's not negated to the Ksuba, which everybody agrees, if it doesn't pertain to the Ksuba, so then Rav Shimon holds like Abishol that the wife who was appointed by the husband as the administrator does not have to swear. But Rabbanu who hold that on Osid, on the future matters, the administrator, in this case being the wife, does have to swear. So they hold like the Rabban who argue with Abishol and hold that administrator appointed by the husband does have to swear. It's only the one appointed by Bezdin that does not have to swear. So this is the one point that Reb Shimon is arguing, according to this pshat, on the Tan of our Mishnah. Maskev la Abaya. Abaya has a question. As we explained before, this comes out to be a kula, because our Tana holds that not only if you're Tevei Ksuba, you have to swear, but you have to swear to the Yisrael on future. The only time you don't have to swear is on past, but on future, the wife does have to swear. So the Lashon of Reb Shimon does not fit into this pshat. Hi, Kol's Man Shetevas Subasa. Should the Lashon be as Reb Shimon uses, whenever she's Tevei Ksuba, she has to swear? That would seem, as Rashi explains, to indicate that the Tana Kama has been Mekel, that she doesn't have to swear, and Rav Shimon is being Machmir. He's being stringent and say, no, don't be Mekel, don't be lenient. Kol's man shedavas v'vaza. As long as she's coming to collect the service, she must swear. But according to the way we're explaining Rav Shimon now, Rav Shimon is actually being lenient. He's being Mekel. And the Lashon of Rav Shimon should have been that im tevas ksuba, im tevas b'balenes. We know when there's a shvua, Tana Kama, that's if she's tevei ksuba. But if she's not tevei ksuba, I hold as an administrator appointed by the husband, she does not have to swear. I'm being more lenient. So the Lashon shouldn't have been a strong Lashon of Kol Zman. It should have been a weak Lashon of if she's tevei, okay, then I agree she has to swear. But if she's not tevei ksuba, then I'm mekel, I'm lenient, she doesn't have to. So the Lashon, Abaya feels is not appropriate for this to be the pshat in the words of Reb Shimon. Elam or Abaya, Abaya has another pshat. Aha, you know what Reb Shimon is going on a different part of the Mishnah. It says in our Mishnah, Kosev lo neder ushvua, ein li olecha. He says, if the husband exempted his wife from a neder or a shvua, ein li yachal eshbi, he cannot make her swear. And if he said, neder ushvua ein li, v'lo yorshay, v'lo lebon brishusi, olecha, v'al yorshayich, v'al habon brishusich, ein li yachal eshbi, if he said, I can't make you swear, and my Yorshim can't make you swear, and the people who come instead of me cannot make you swear. And who can't they make swear? You and your Yorshim, and those who come instead of you. Then the din is, says the Mishnah, Ein Yochel Ashbi, Eloi who? He can't make her swear. V'loi Yorshav, the Yorshim can't make him swear. The inheritors, v'loi Abon Bershusa, not those who come in his stead, loi he can't make her swear, v'loi Yorshea, not her, those who inherited from her, v'loi Abon Bershusa, not those who come in her place. That was the sheet of the Tana Kama. V'osu Reb Shimon l'meimer, and Reb Shimon came along and said, kol zman shetevas subasa, Yorshin mashbiin oisa, that as long as she is tevei her ksuba, the yorshim could be mashbia her. Ukamiflegi beplukta dabishol ben ema miriam v'rabbanan. And they have the machlokas in the shita of Abishol, the son of ema miriam, as we explained yesterday, shir from the Yavitz. The Yavitz says that the girsa here is aleph mem aleph. The mother miriam, this was a title of chashivas, like the mama rachel. And what was the sheet of Abishol ben Ema Miriam, which we had in yesterday's shir, that Abishol ben Ema Miriam said that whatever Lashon you use, even if it's a distinct Lashon of the father to exempt his wife from the Ksuba, the Abishol Shita was that she must swear when she's coming to collect from Yisoimim. And the Rabbanan disagreed. The Rabbanan said that the exemption by the husband frees her from making a shvua. That will be the machlokas. And now it comes out very good that the Lashon of Af is l'chumra. What did Rav Shimon say? Kol zman. The Lashon of Kol zman is l'chumra. Kol zman shedavasu basa. Yorshim eshbi oisa. You, the Tana Kama, wanted to say that if she's tevei ksuba and the husband exempted her, she doesn't have to make a ksuba, a shua. I'm machmir, and I say, kol zman shetevasu basa, you do have to make a shua. So now the question that we had before, that it's a not a lashon chumra, the pshat, the case of before, this case is fits in very well with a lashon chumra. You, Tana Kama, want to be mekel, and I am going ahead, and I am being machmir. So the Gemara says, Rab Shimon Kabishol, Rab Shimon will hold like Abishol, that we're machmer, that if she wants to collect the ksuba, even if the husband exempted her, she must make a shvua. Rabbanan Rabbanan, the Rabbanan will hold like the Rabbanan, that if the husband exempted her, she does not have to make a shvua. Maskevel Rapapa, Rapapa still is not satisfied with this pshat. You have explained the ratio of Rav Shimon's words, that he's being machmer whenever she's a very ksuba, even if the husband exempted her, she has to make a shua. But what about the seifa? What about the end of what he said? Eina tevasu basa, Michael Maimer. What is he trying to say with the words, Eina tevasu basa? On what is he going? I don't know what he's going according to your pshat. I only know what the ratio is going. The seifa, you haven't told me your pshat. Elamar Rapapa says Rapapa, Lafuke, Mid Rab Lezer, Umachlokoisai. We learned before in the Mishnah on Daf Pei Vav Amud Beis, the first Mishnah on that Amud, Hamoishiv as Ishna Chadvani, if he made his wife into a storekeeper, Oishivina Petripia, or he made her into an administrator, Harez de Mashbiya, Kozman Shiyirza, he can, on any suspicion that she's embezzling, he can make her swear. Sheet of the Tanakhama. What does Rab Lezer hold? Rab Lezer Eimer, Afila Pilcha, even on a spindle, Val Issa, on dough, even if she's not an administrator, she's not a storekeeper, but even on day to day, working with her spindle or her dough, he can ask her to make a shua that she didn't embezzle anything and take it for herself. So, as Rashi explains, what, Rav Shimon is saying, Rav Shimon is arguing on two fronts. The first part is like we said before, that, in the Machlokes of Abishol and the Rabbanan, that Rav Shimon says, not like the Tan of the Mishnah on Pei Vav Amud Beis, that if the husband exempted her, she does not have to make a shua. Rav Shimon holds, as long as she's Tovei her Ksuba, even if the husband exempted her, if she's Tovei her Ksuba, she does have to make a shua. And what's the second part? The second part was, Eina Tovas Ksubasa, Ein Yoshim Ashbinoisa. That if she's not Tevei her Ksuba, what do you want to put on her? You want to put on her the Shvua of Apotropos, or according to Rabbi Eliezer, you want to put on her a Shvua even for domestic things that she didn't take, and you say that you are able to do it. As Rashi explains, that my shita is that even if the husband did not free her, he did not exempt her from the shvua, if it does not relate to her coming to collect the ksuba, it's only on the shvua of the apitropos, there I hold that there is no shvua on the isha, and that's what he says. Then there is no shvua to be made. I disagree with Rab Elazar and with the Rabbanan. With both of them I disagree, and I hold that there is no such shvua on a wife. And the Meforshim explained that the svar of Rab Shimon is that since when she collects her ksuba, she's going to have to make such a shvua anyway. She's going to have to say that I didn't take anything during the lifetime of the husband. Because if she did take something from the husband, that will satisfy her ksuba. She won't be able to collect her ksuba. So when she takes her ksuba as part of the shvua of the ksuba, she'll have to say that she didn't take anything from her husband. But we don't make her swear that shvua that she didn't embezzle alone. That's the sheet of Rav Shimon. So now, according to the end of the Gemara, we have a klor pshat in Rav Shimon. Rav Shimon says, "Kodz mancha tevasu basa yorsheha mashbiyunai." So the yorshin could be mashbiyayir. Any time that she wants to collect her ksuba, even if the husband exempted her, he disagrees with the Tana on Daf Pei Vav Amud Beis, and he holds like Abishol that the Ma Esa Abishol said, "What can I do? Any lashon that you use against in favor of the woman that she shouldn't have to swear doesn't trump that which the Chazal said, Habal ifram nixi yisram lo yifra ela bishvua." That's the first part of Rav Shimon, and the second part of Rav Shimon is, Eina tevasu basa, and you want to now give her the shvua of apotropia? I disagree with the first Mishnah on Pei Vav Amud Beis, where the Chachamim and Rab Elazar says that a husband can make his wife always make these kind of shvuas. No, the halacha is that ein yorshim, so the husband or the yorshim cannot make the woman swear. The only time she swears is when she wants to collect her ksuba.